Chapter 11. Running. I am not a natural runner. Too heavy-legged, too big and bulky. I am built like a butcher, and honestly, I derive little pleasure from running. I do it because I have to. If I don't, I get fat, an unhappy tendency I inherited from my mother's side, all stout-bodied peasant stock from Eastern Europe, Scotland, and points unknown. So most mornings around 6 or 6:30, I galumped through the streets and the jogging paths in Cold Spring Park until I had pounded out my daily 3 miles. I was determined to keep on doing it even after Jacob was indicted. No doubt the neighbors would have preferred that we barbers not show our faces, particularly in Cold Spring Park. I did accommodate them somewhat. I ran early in the morning. I kept my distance from others. I bowed my head like a fugitive when passing a jogger going the opposite direction. And of course, I never ran near the murder site. But I decided from the start that for my own sanity, I would hold on to this aspect of before life. The morning after our initial conference with Jonathan, I experienced that elusive oxymoronic thing, a good run. I felt light and fast. For once, running was not a series of leaps and thuds, but, and I don't mean to be too poetic about this, like flying. I felt my body rush forward with a kind of natural ease and predatory speed, as if I had always been meant to feel like this. I don't know why it happened, exactly, though I suspect the added anxiety of the case flooded my system with adrenaline. I moved quickly through Cold Spring Park in the damp chill, around the loop that follows the perimeter of the park, hopping over tree roots and rocks, leaping the little pools of rainwater and the squelching mud patches that dot the park in spring. I felt so good, in fact, that I ran past my usual park exit and went on through the woods a little farther, to the front of the park where, with only the vaguest intention or design in my head, but a conviction, fast growing into a certainty, that Leonard Patz was the one, I came out into the parking lot of the Windsor Apartments. I padded around the parking lot a bit. I did not have the vaguest idea where Patz's apartment was. The buildings were plain blocks of red brick, 3 stories high. I found Patz's car, a rusting plum-colored late-90s Ford Probe whose description I remembered from Patz's file among the details Paul Duffy had begun to gather. It was just the sort of car a child molester ought to drive. The vehicular embodiment of a pedophile is precisely a plum-colored late-90s Ford Probe. Short of flying the NAMBLA flag from the antenna, the car could not have suited the man better. Patz had adorned his pedomobile with various disarming badges— a Teach Children Massachusetts vanity plate, bumper stickers for the Red Sox and the World Wildlife Fund with its cuddly panda logo. Both doors were locked. I cupped my hands over the driver's window to peer inside. The interior was immaculate, if worn.